This is Eddie Palmieri, inviting you to join us in the Jazz Room with host Joe Watson Jones. Thank you very much.
Hello, welcome to the Jazz Room. I'm your host, Joan Watson Jones. Thanks for stopping by. Come in, relax while we enjoy great jazz. Each week, we present the music of independent jazz artists, as well as those we've grown to love through the years. And yes, of course, the legends. We open the program with the music of our special guest, Latin jazz legend, Eddie Palmieri. We were able to briefly talk with him at the 2011 Newport Jazz Festival, shortly before he was to go on stage with his Latin jazz band. In this part two of this feature, he'll tell us about the influence of Coltrane, Monk, and other jazz artists, and also talks about the various collaborations with other jazz and pop artists. Right now, we're listening to Azúcar Pa' Ti, the first of his recordings to win a Grammy and one of his signature dance compositions. Palmieri has said he still considers himself a leader of a dance band. Here's his description of the song.
When we did the composition called Azúcar Pa' Ti,
yes,
that was very famous at the time, you know, 1965, and it went for 8 minutes and 30 seconds on record. And then they were telling me, they were all talking, Eddie's going to close with Azúcar Pa' Ti, but do yourself a favor, don't come out dancing till after the piano solo, because you'll never make it.
That's great.
Thank you.
Room. I'm your host, Joan Watson Jones. We continue with our conversation with Latin jazz legend Eddie Palmieri. Now, when did jazz start coming into your Latin?
A little later, because everything to me was to find out the essence and of the Cuban music that was coming out of Cuba before 1960. How they could excite me in less than a 3-minute version of a recording. If you remember, in those years, you had a record 245, so you could put 12 compositions on an LP, for example, and I couldn't believe how they could excite me, and they got piano solos in, and conga solos in and bongo solos in those less than 3 minutes and gel to an incredible excitement. And I analyzed that, and then I later on I found out scientifically through a teacher I had called Bob Bianco that the form of tension and resistance within the competition is what gives it the excitement, you know? And like those solos gel and make the rhythm, you know, synchronize, and a synchronized orchestra is going to really get you, you know, and an exciting dance orchestra. So that's what I did all my life, and put people to dance, okay? I'm a very bad dancer on my own, but I know how to put people to dance. I don't guess I'm going to excite you. I know it, okay? So the thing is that it went throughout the years until later on I went into Latin jazz. But in the interim, I started to listen to Thelonious Monk, Art Tatum first, naturally, and then Bud Powell and Bill Evans and all the great pianists, and then Miles Davis, the Coltrane. I actually saw the John Coltrane quartet, the original, at the Birdland when I was working the Palladium Ballroom. That was must have been between 64 and 65. And from there, I started to analyze also the jazz playing of these great jazz players. So between those players and the Cuban players and my brother's influence and all that, I was able to work out my own signature, you know, my style of playing. And since that, I've been one of the most happy campers on the bandstand.
Now here's In Flight from the Eddie Palmieri album, Listen Here.
We'll be right back.
You're in the Jazz Room. I'm your host, Joan Watson-Jones. You just heard Eddie Palmieri with In Flight from the CD Listen Here. And that violinist you heard was Regina Carter. We continue now with our interview with Eddie Palmieri. I was looking and reading about the collaborations you had with various styles of music. And I also heard something you did with a group called Harlem River Drive.
Which Ronnie Cuba was a main influence there. He and I worked the music on that. He did the orchestrations on Harlem River Drive. And he bought me the Aretha Franklin Orchestra, which was Bernard Purdy, Cornell Dupree, unfortunately he passed away, and Gerald Jamot, who was going out with Roberta Flack then. And it was Ronnie Cuba who made that possible. And a writer called Calvin Clash. So, and a singer called Jimmy Norman. So that's how Harlem River Drive came about. And it's an extremely interesting album or CD now, but it created a lot of complications when it came out because it was one of the favorite of the Weathermen, and the Weathermen are anti-government. And I couldn't believe, I thought I was going to go crossover, and I went so underground you won't believe it.
Oh, my gosh.
The main thing is that the record company had the CIA and the FBI coming to talk to him, and the gentleman who owned Roulette, Mr. Morris Levy, told me, Eddie Palmieri, what is it you recorded this time? Because every time I would record for him, I would create some kind of a problem, you know? And like when I did one called Mozambique, that's when the Cubans were doing that, and they were fighting in Angola, and it was a rhythmical pattern, you know, like the old conga. One, two, three, four, one, boom, 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 bing, boom. But it was called Mozambique, and we did it in a great swing in that, and the next thing we know, the first Cubans that were arriving from Cuba were threatening to blow up the radio stations. And sure enough, again, Mr. Levy had calls from the different authorities, and what did you record this time? So I was really quite unique in the complications that I created.
And you're just looking at the world and say, all I want to do is
play
my music.
As a matter of fact, there was a lawyer that helped me out of that one because they accused me of being a communist. And I went to the lawyer, Mr. Bruce Wright, who became a judge, Judge Bruce Wright, which they called him Cut 'em Loose Bruce. But he was such an intelligent, beautiful Afro-American attorney, and I never could thank him enough for the letter that he wrote, that music is music and politics is politics, and never the both can intertwine, you know. And it was a wonderful letter he wrote, and it went through all the news throughout the world, you know.
Fascinating. I love hearing the story behind the music. I really do. It just makes the music even that more special.
Are you sure you wanted to interview me, Joan?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I did want to interview you.
Because you're not going to hear that from anybody else around here today.
That's good. That's exactly what should happen. That's exactly what should happen. Here is Seeds of Life from that album, Harlem River Project.
Oh,
me. What's in the future? Any new projects? What are you working on?
Less complications, you know. That's for sure.
Yes.
I have toned down quite a bit. But we're doing some nice things. We're traveling with Horacio El Negro Hernandez. We just came from a tour. That's a Cuban drummer. He's one of the worldwide known. And Brian Lynch, myself, and Luquez Curtis, this young bass player that you'll hear today, is one of the most incredible bass players. I believe that he's, which I have stated, excuse me, the best bass player I've ever worked with. He knows the two genres of jazz and Latin. He's a young man. His family's all musically involved. His brother, a gentleman called Sakai, and another one, Damon, they play piano. A very talented family. So I'm very elated that I have him in certain in competition because they have their own bands too, you know. But that was a trio. The quartet that traveled throughout Europe just now, and we just came back. And then I did the. This is the best one now. This is the best one. I could close with this, I guess. We did the. What do they call? Oh, the Amazon. Look at your eyes. The Amazon Jazz Festival. And it was in a place called Manaus in Brazil. And I kid around with everyone when I said that the promoter's name was Chief Yum Yum. Boiling a big pot that if he didn't like the band, you're going in the pot.
There was one other thing I wanted to ask you, because I know you have Brian Lynch with you today, and he was on my list to talk about collaborations.
Right.
Tell me a bit more about
Brian. Well, we collaborated on, we've been together two centuries now. You know, and then we collaborated on one of the albums, that CDs that he did. And the next thing I know, I was taking pictures that I was on the cover. I didn't know how that happened, but it happened. And then it was released, and we won a Grammy. You know, it was my 9th Grammy and his first. So I'm very elated for him. He's a great trumpet player, a great musician, and a great bandstand buddy. You know.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing your band and
It's going to be exciting.
Well, thank you so much, Eddie Palmieri,
thank you,
for
Joan.
Spending time here.
I hope
here
you had an
us.
Interesting interview.
I did. And I have. I did. Thank you for spending time here. This ends our two-part feature of the music of Eddie Palmieri. You're listening right now to Free Hands from the Brian Lynch Project. We love hearing from you. You can send your comments and questions through the Jazz Room page of my website, joanwatsonjones.com. Also there, you'll find photos of Eddie Palmieri and a direct link to his website, eddiepalmieri.com. Until next time, you have been in the Jazz Room. I'm your host, Joan Watson Jones.